Please open your Bibles to the 35th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 35, in your Scofield Bible, page 743. We'll be reading the first six verses of this passage, and we'll read the verses responsively. The first two verses are the text verses for this morning's message. Isaiah 35, 1 through 6. Page 743. And let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this good book. Thank you for our great church, for our preacher. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints. And we pray for your help in this hour, that thou wast blessed with thy Spirit's power. Give us unusual attendance unto the message, and help us to give undividedly our attention to the words that thou hast given our preacher in Jesus' name.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the hope of the blossom. The hope of the blossom. Our Brother Colston led us in reading a while ago about the great millennial promise when the desert shall blossom as a rose. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the hope of the blossom. Our Heavenly Father, we laugh, we smile, and yet 90% of the people in this room this morning have broken hearts. I thought last night, as I drove home, is there anybody without a broken heart? Thank you for the privilege of preaching to broken-hearted people. Speak to our hearts this morning. Amen. Somebody has said, he who preaches to broken hearts will never want for a congregation. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the hope of the blossom. In the Bible, the blossom always symbolizes hope. When God was going to end a famine, he always announced the end of that famine by the blossom, saying that you can't eat blossoms, but the blossom means the fruit is coming soon. When God wanted to end a war, was going to end a war and bring victory to his children, he would often use the figure speech of the blossom. He would say it's blossom time. That means that victory is not here, but the blossom signified that victory was on the way. When a drought would end, God would often miraculously send a blossom or blossoms to announce the end of that drought. Now, the normal procedure is this: the blossom and then the bud. Take your Bibles and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 27 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 27, verse number 6. That's on page 736 in your Scofield Bible. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse number 6. I want you to read that verse aloud with me, please. The sixth verse of the 27th chapter of Isaiah. Ready? He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. I want you to notice the little line there, line 3, blossom and bud. Now, that's the normal way. The blossom comes and then the bud. What does that mean? That means the blossom points and says fruit is going to come. And then, in the passing of time and in due time, the fruit does come. Now, that's what we all want. That's what we all like the best. When the blossom comes and then comes the fruit. What we all want is the engagement and then the marriage. The engagement is the blossom and the marriage being the fruit. What we all want is when God, when a child is conceived and pregnancy comes, that blossom of pregnancy, we want a healthy baby. That's the normal, the blossom and the fruit, or the blossom and the bud. That's the normal way, and that's what all of us would far prefer. Education, that's the blossom. Then a good job, that's the fruit. The wedding, that's the blossom. A happy home, that's the fruit. The childhood, that's the blossom. Then a good adolescence, that's the fruit. Or children, and then when children grow up, they make you have a happy old age. That's the blossom and the fruit. Now, that's what all of us want. In every area of our life, if that happens, we say God sure has been good to us because we got the blossom and then we got the fruit. I love weddings. I love weddings. I cut up about them a lot, talk about committing marriage and stuff like that. But we had two lovely weddings this week. And yesterday afternoon, one of our young ladies married from the age 3 and a half, been in our church and grown up through all of our schools and a graduate of our college. And I just hardly could control myself when I stopped to realize how wonderful it is to be in the Lord's work and how wonderful it is to have a part, just a little part, maybe just a tiny part in the life of somebody as lovely as Sherry Waddell, who married yesterday afternoon. And then that's the way we like it. We like to have it so we train and we teach, and then they make us proud, and they become good Christians, and they marry fine husbands and wives, and we like it that way. What's that? That's the blossom and then the fruit. The blossom and then the fruit. Friday night, I married Robin Stenberg to a fine young man, and Robin's been sort of one of my adopted daughters. Robin's father and Robin's mother reared her alone, and they moved all the way from Florida just to our area so she could be in this church and her mother could rear her children here in First Baptist Church at Hammond. Shortly after they came, Robin came to my office. Well, she wrote me a note, and she said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I don't have a father to rear me." And she said, "I'd like to have a father." She said, "Would you mind adopting me as your unofficial daughter? Could I come to you as I'd come to a dad?" And I wrote her back and said, "Well, of course you may. We'll just sort of consider you as one of my daughters, adopted daughters." And every time she had a date, if I asked her for a date, before she said yes, she came to me and asked me about it. And then Friday, I got a lovely, long, 3-4-page letter from Robin. And she said, "Dear Brother Hiles," she said, "I didn't have a dad at home, but," she said, "you've been like a dad to me." And she said, "you always had time for me." And she said, "you always helped me and you always encouraged me," and other little things along also. And I thought, yeah, that's the way I like it. I like the blossom and then the fruit. All of us like to see the fruit. But there's a second thing, and that is blossom and no fruit. Open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 24. Page 717 in your Scofield Bible. I'll read this aloud, and you follow me. It's a rather lengthy verse, so you just follow me along as I read aloud. Isaiah 5:24. "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." That in the middle there, "their blossom shall go up as dust." What's he saying? He's saying there's such a thing as blossom and then fruit. That's what all of us want. And then he said there's blossom and no fruit. That reminds me of 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 and following. In the city of Jericho, something awful had happened. The Bible says that the water had become naught, it says, or naughty, and the ground had become barren. And they had an awful problem, and here was the problem. The trees would blossom, and then before they'd bring forth the fruit, the blossom would fall off the trees, and no harvest came, and no fruit came. Same thing was true with the field. The crops would blossom like they were going to bring forth a good harvest, but no harvest came, and there was no fruit. And they called the man of God. It's always a good idea to call a man of God. They called Elisha. Said, Elisha, said, what is it? He said, bring me a cruse. And to make a long story short, he took some salt, a new cruse of salt, and poured the salt in the city water supply. And the water was healed, and then the blossom brought forth the fruit. But now, let me say this. We like it best when the blossom and then comes the fruit. And the blossom and then the fruit. The engagement, then the nice marriage. The wedding, then the happy home. And then the pregnancy, then the healthy child. That's where we like it. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes there is blossom and no fruit. Sometimes there's an engagement, but there's no marriage. Sometimes there's a pregnancy, but no baby. Or sometimes the pregnancy and no healthy baby, maybe a deformed child. Sometimes there's a wedding, and then there's no fruit. There's death or divorce. Sometimes there's adolescence, and as in the case of one of our young men this past week, suddenly died. And there's the blossom, and it looks like a fruitful life's going to come, but suddenly the blossom is taken away, and there is no fruit. There's a happy home, and then there's a car wreck, and the breadwinner is taken away, and there's a little lady has to rear children by herself. The blossom was so beautiful, and it looked like the fruit was going to come, but the fruit did not come. Or maybe there was an engagement, and then before the marriage, there came the death of the fiancé, and as one little lady held her wedding gown and looked at me and held her wedding gown and said, what do I do with it now? She had blossomed. There was the blossom of the shower. There was the blossom of the proposal, and there was the blossom of the engagement ring, and there was the blossom that showed that fruit's going to come. It doesn't always work that way. It may be the child is afflicted. It may be the child that dies prematurely. It may be a stillborn baby. It may be a miscarriage. It may be that before the fruit comes, the blossom is blown away. Now, thirdly, there is not only the time of the blossom and the bud, or the blossom and the fruit. That's what we all want. But there are sometimes the blossom comes and no fruit comes. But thirdly, there's a time when there's no blossom at all. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Habakkuk, please. That's on page 958 in your Scofield Bible. I know you could have found it anyway by tomorrow. But page 958 in your Scofield Bible. I want you to read verses 17 and 18. Follow me as I read. I want you to look at these verses very carefully. Now, first we had the blossom and the fruit. Then we had the blossom and no fruit. Now we have no blossom. Look at verse number 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now look at me a minute. In this verse, the Babylonian armies had come from Assyria, and they had burned or cut down all the fruit trees. And this was the time of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And it was the worst time. You've heard me tell about it. Their homes had been destroyed, burned. The temple had been destroyed. The wall had been destroyed around the city. And the Bible says they had nothing on the vine. They had no grapes. They had no juice. They had no olives. Their fields had no meat. They had no crops at all. No wheat and no barley and no crops at all. And it says that the flock should be cut off from the field. Animals couldn't eat, and because of that, they died. They had no beef. They had no pork. They had no lamb. They had no corn. They had no wine. They had no olive oil. They had nothing to eat, and there was a famine in the land. But look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So what am I saying? I'm getting down to the sermon now. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there are times when we have blossoms and then we see the fruit. And we ought to praise God for that. Praise God for a healthy baby. Praise God for a happy home. Praise God for the fruit that follows the blossom. And thank God for it. When you see the blossom and there comes the fruit, say, bless God, fruit's coming, deliverance is coming, and God is going to vindicate, and thank God. And then God does. Then have a holy fit and shout and clap your hands and praise the Lord and say, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, glory, God is good. The blossom came, and then came the fruit. But now, wait a minute. These people had no blossom. These people had no fruit. And it said, I will rejoice in the Lord. What does it mean? It means that when you don't have any blossom at all and no fruit, then life is at its worst. What are you supposed to do? Praise God! That's what you're supposed to do. When you walk away from the silent city of the dead and leave the loved one there that was the dearest to you, and empty places beside you in bed and across them from the table, come home and say what the writer said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. God is good, whether there's a blossom or no blossom. God is good, whether there's fruit or no fruit. What are they saying? They're saying, He's my God. He's my God. Well, what are you rejoicing about? You don't have anything to eat? I'm rejoicing because I have the true and living God. What are you rejoicing about? You don't have any corn? I'm rejoicing because I have the true and the living God. What are you rejoicing about? You don't have any meat and any food on the table, but I've got a God in my heart. That's what I'm rejoicing about. I don't care how dark the night, praise God, we're supposed to rejoice. I don't care how black the clouds, and I don't care how lonely the night, and how bare the table. God says, I rejoice in the Lord. I like the next line. He said, no, rejoice in the Lord. He said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Listen carefully to this. He said, our houses are burned. Our temple's destroyed. The walls are down. We have no meat to eat. We have no crops. We have no fruit. We have not even any blossom. No hope. What it says is this. Not only is there no fruit, but there's no hope, because the blossom says there's hope. At least when you see the blossom, if it doesn't become fruit, at least for a while you had hope. But they said, we have no food on the table. We have no fruit. We have no harvest. We have no crops. And not only that, we don't even see any blossom. We don't see any hope for anything to eat. We see no blossom on the horizon. We need to see no ray of sunshine. But I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. What's he saying? He's saying, he'll save me. He said, he'll save me. He'll save you? You haven't got anything to eat, no blossoms even. He said, he'll save me. How? I don't know, but he will. Well, what if he doesn't? If he doesn't, he's enough to rejoice about. You know, the great thing we ought to rejoice about is we know the true and the living God. I'd rather starve to death with Him than have plenty without Him. And what God is simply saying, He's saying, when the blossom comes and that blossom is followed by the fruit, when the pregnancy comes and that's followed by a healthy baby, when the engagement comes and that's followed by a beautiful wedding ceremony and a happy marriage, and when the blossom comes and the fruit comes, praise God! But He said, if the fruit doesn't come, praise God. And He said, if the blossom doesn't even come, and you cannot even see any hope, He said, praise God. Years ago, I was down in Corpus Christi, Texas, when Lester Roloff was at the bottom. I mean at the bottom. He was all the way down. Looked like his whole ministry was gone. He was laying on the floor, tears falling on the floor. I was trying to comfort him. He got a pen out. He got a big old piece of paper, construction paper. He wrote on it. He put it on the wall. I looked at it. It said, praise God anyhow. Praise God anyhow. Praise God when the plate's full, but when it's empty, praise God anyhow.
Praise God when the toes are warm, but when you have none, praise God anyhow. Praise God when the friends are around you and there's merriment and joy, but when the enemies gather around, praise God anyhow. Praise God when the sun is shining brightly on a beautiful day of your life, but when the clouds come and gather and the harvest does not give its fruit, praise God anyhow. That's what he's saying right here. God said, I'm enough to make you praise. I don't know how he's going to deliver me, but he will. I'm not concerned about, don't praise God mainly for what he has, but what he is. I don't praise him concerningly for what he does, but who he is. He's my God, the true, the living, omnipotent, omniscient, God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of you. He's my God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Let the clouds come, let the battles come, but he's my God. And I will rejoice in the name of the Lord my God. I see a few blossoms this morning in the problem that I'm facing. I see a few blossoms. I see a blossom in the crowds that I'm preaching to across the country. I see a blossom when I saw last Monday night in Memphis, Tennessee, 55 preachers in the service. That's a blossom. Fruit isn't here yet. Battle isn't over yet. But I'm looking for every blossom I can see. I saw a blossom Monday morning, Tuesday morning. Right there, the Tuesday morning daytime service. I think it was 51 preachers. I saw a blossom Tuesday night when 54 preachers were there. I see some blossoms. I don't see the fruit yet. I don't see the victory yet. But I see some blossoms. I see a blossom in the fact of our summer school. The college. 104 more people enrolled in Howells Anderson College this summer than last summer. All-time record enrollment for our summer school. That's a blossom. Victory hasn't come yet. We're not through the battle yet. May never be. But thank God there's a blossom. I see a blossom in your love and loyalty. Every time a note comes under my door, and nowadays, you're writing on the outside, this is a good note. Every time one comes on the door, and I open it and read it, and it said, Brother Hiles, we're 100% behind you, and we love you. We're praying for you and your family. I see a blossom. I see a blossom in the crowds here. Greatest crowds our church has ever had in the summertime. I see a blossom. I see a blossom in the youth conference. That's been one of the big, big things, been our concern now. Brother Ed Lapina said the other day, he wouldn't be surprised to have one of the biggest youth conferences ever. I see a blossom in the youth conference. I see a blossom in those hundreds of letters, hundreds and thousands of letters I've gotten from all over America. Preachers saying, we believe in you. We believe Mr. Sumner is a liar. And we believe that Mr. Nischik is lying. And we believe in you. We either didn't read the article or we read it and didn't believe it. It's all a lie and we're for you and you're our leader and we're 100% behind you. That man right there wrote me a letter. This just like that. I see a blossom. I see a blossom in the local people here. Probably the leading lawyer in this area called me and he said, I know those are lies. Mayor of our city stood right behind this pulpit a few weeks ago, surprised me and showed up and stood right here and said, that's my friend there and I want you to know I'm for him. I see a blossom there. But I want to tell you something. If every blossom fades, if every blossom brings forth no fruit, and if the petals of the blossom fall to the ground and become as dust, and if every preacher in America turns his back on me, if this church were to stand up, it'll never happen. But if it were to stand up and say, preacher, we don't want you as our pastor anymore. If the local people in the city spit on me as I walk down the street. And if preachers across America said, we have no confidence in you. I guarantee you, I'd still have my God. I will rejoice in the name of my God.
If no fruit comes, only blossoms, I'll rejoice in Him. But if I come to the day, I don't see any hope. I don't see any blossom. Bless God, there's something beating right in here in my breast this morning. You can't get to. Robert Sumner can't get to. Victor Nistic can't get to. Bob, what's that guy over there? It's a guy who used to teach at the college. George Godfrey can't get to. Bless God, there's something in here the Southern Baptist Convention can't get to. There's something in here that the Hammond Times can't get to. There's something in here that all the hordes of hell can't get to. Jesus lives in here. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Rejoice in the Lord. If the fruit trees bring no blossoms and fruit, if the animals croak on cactus in the desert, if the deep freeze is empty and the cupboard is bare and the grounds have cracks in them you could put your foot in, and there's no food to eat, and the house has been destroyed and the city has been destroyed and the temple's been destroyed, He said, I will rejoice in the name of the Lord my God, and in His salvation. Some of you this morning, you see blossoms and fruit. We all like that best. Your problem, your burden. I've cried enough tears in the last 3 days for our people, not my own problem, but yours. To fill a bucket, I'm sure. Hurting. Heartaches. Some cases, no way to see fruit. But worse than that, not even a blossom. You know, even if you don't have any fruit, if a blossom appears, for a little while you have hope. Maybe that's fruit. Maybe it'll bring forth fruit. And there's a little hope that springs in your breast. But when no hope springs in your breast, you still have Him. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior Thou. Ever I loved You, my Jesus is now. A lot of you this morning, there was blossom and fruit, blossom and fruit, blossom and fruit, blossom and fruit. Your life was that way. But I want to warn you something. It won't be that way through all your life. It won't be that way all your life. I've said so often, I guess the best child I've ever known in my life was Linda Hiles. I guess the most even disposition child I've ever seen was Linda Hiles, our middle daughter. It was always blossom and fruit, and blossom and fruit, and blossom and fruit. And then they had their first baby. But something was wrong with that little foot. And to this day, she's getting up now. How old is she? 10? 10 years old, little foot like that. 1 foot points that way, 1 foot points that way. One little leg is normal. Other little leg is sort of wilted. And this morning, she's a very sick little girl in the hospital in Dallas. And our girl, Linda, has had to face for several years. She's had to face the blossom. But no fruit. They didn't plan that little swivel leg. They didn't plan that little foot that turns in. They didn't plan her to be not normal. They had all the blossoms everybody else does. I'm looking at the wolves over here. They didn't plan for their child to be afflicted. The blossoms. You know, big blossoms. We've got blossoms all over this room this morning. Big blossoms. And didn't plan it that way. But let me tell you. Our God is just as much our God when the blossoms fade as when the blossoms become fruit. And our God is just as much our God when there's no blossoms at all and no hope at all as when they had their blossoms and fruit. Somebody said, well, God sure has been good to me. Oh, we're all well and we have plenty of food. We have a nice house. Drive a good car. God's been good to you if you don't have a house or a car or food or health at all. God is God. God doesn't need to be on trial every day to see what kind of God He is. By the way, if He's all you have, that's enough. As the little girl said, the Lord is my shepherd, And that's all I want. And He's all I want. Some of you this morning can see this morning the blossoms and the fruit. Some of you have seen your blossoms fail and your plans have gone awry, like I said last Sunday. The hopes and dreams of a harvest will never be yours now. It looked like it was going to be wonderful. Everything looked good. Your marriage looked happy. The children looked well. You thought everything was okay. The doctor said the baby had been normal. But the blossoms have faded. And all your hopes and plans have gone awry. Let me tell you something. You have the same God you'd have had if you have a crop this morning. The same God. And to many of you this morning, you don't even see any blossoms. You have no hope. But praise God, you can rejoice in Him. And you can believe and trust and praise and shout. The truth is, when the Christians were driven underground in the catacombs beneath the city of Rome, when those Christians had as their walls the bodies of dead people, they were driven underground in the catacombs. They had no homes. They had no food much. They had no houses. They had no churches. They had no crops. But they had God. They had God. God says, I want to be all you need. Find in me. Find in me your joy. Find in me your praise. Find in me your rejoicing. And so this morning, if your testimony is blossom and fruit, go home and have a spell this afternoon. Jump up, down, holler, and shout. Look at the little children's feet. They're normal. Look at the little bodies. They're normal. Look at your husband who's well and has a good job. Look at your nice house. Look at the nice car you've got. Have a spell. Jump up and down and praise God. But if you go home today and you find a little child is limping around the house and your husband's unemployed, you don't have a car, you had to ride a bicycle or take a cab home from church, looks like you don't have enough food in the cupboard to have lunch today, have a spell anyhow. Or as Brother Olaf said, just praise God anyhow. Our Heavenly Father.